How's it going, Reef Keepers? I would like to officially welcome you to the first ever inaugural episode of We the Reefers, a podcast above the influence in this hobby. So I've been asked to do this by several people for a while now. And for some reason, it felt like a bigger thing than it actually, I think, is going to be. Because this is kind of what I do for a living. As you guys know, I'm a teacher. And so I stand in front of rooms full of people and, you know, lecture and have conversations with people all the time, every day. So, yeah, I'm going to move ahead with this. And just so you know, be patient with me because it's going to be a process of figuring out what you guys like, what you don't like, what works, what doesn't work, what kind of format I want to do this in week to week, because I do want kind of a predictable format eventually. It's going to be a journey for sure. I may even at some point buy, you know, I don't know, a $50, $60, $70 podcast microphone. Who knows what the future holds? But I do know that there is at least some limited appetite among the people who follow me, and what I'm trying to do here, for me to have some longer form content where it's less, you know, succinct, it's less efficient than my videos. You know, I'm not necessarily trying to get a singular point across, or, you know, ranting for 10 minutes straight as fast as I can to not make the video longer. Like, what I like about this already is that it kind of takes that pressure off of like having this neat, tidy thing that I post that's, you know, not running way over a time limit or anything like that. This is just me. It's just me and you. So that's pretty cool. As for the podcast name, I went through a few different iterations of podcast name. And when I thought about, because I've had weeks to think about this, about how I would, what I would want this to be, right? And I've had a while to think about like what my channel represents and like what I want that to be too. And I'm still not entirely sure on some of that, but I know that when it comes to this longer form kind of unfiltered me, I want this to be, I know it sounds lofty, right? But I kind of want these things to serve as a bit of a sanctuary of sorts from, you know, channels that it's hard to explain. So, like, of course, we all know that there are channels that are just businesses, right? Whether they're upfront about that or they're masquerading as not being a business. There are channels that are just businesses in this hobby. There are channels that are sponsored channels, right? There are channels that are like brand ambassador channels. There are channels that accept, like, in the pursuit of like endless free gear or free frags or whatever from different sources, they say that they're unbiased, but they're accepting all this free stuff and outfitting their systems with it, so there's something in it for them. There are even channels that, like, and like this is the diciest one that I kind of call out, but like there are channels that are that the people run reef stores or local fish stores or dry goods operations online or brick and mortar. And I even think that those podcasts or those YouTube channels, I kind of look at them with a critical eye because you're selling this stuff, right? This is part of your livelihood is keeping up sales. I am none of those things. And I don't want to be. That is not part of my angle here. So I'm trying to act as sort of, and I'm not saying that like I'm going to go out there and like march in the street and fight the good fight and, you know, have some like, you know, hippie free love reefing deal that I'm trying to push, but I do want to kind of represent like the average common, you know, reefer that doesn't necessarily want all their content to be swayed one way or the other or attempting to sway them or, you know, you're looking at it with a suspect eye because they also have a dry goods store. So why are we talking about the Ecotec Vortec for this entire episode of this podcast? You know, that kind of stuff, I don't want people to have to worry about that when they come here and want to just like kick back and listen to me, which, you know, I have hundreds of students who would opt out of listening to me. So if you're going to sit here and listen to me for, you know, however many hours over the course of this podcast lifespan, thank you. I'll say that. I do appreciate the fact that people actually have an appetite to listen to me for that long. And I do apologize, by the way, for like in advance for being a simplistic operation. Like, I know that there are other podcasts, a lot of them, those like sponsors or sponsored, you know, operations or, you know, fish stores or brand ambassador things that have way more bells and whistles than me. This is me with my phone propped up at my tank and just me standing behind it talking to you. So I know the audio is not going to be great. You know, I know that the video could be way crisper. I know that I could have like lead in music and, you know, I don't know, maybe at some point I get into a little bit of, you know, we have some kind of lead in song for this. I don't know. I don't think so, probably, but like, if you want to listen to me drone about this hobby, which is my favorite thing to talk about, thank you for being here, right? And I hope that you come back because I do plan on posting these. I don't know how regularly right now, maybe once a month, maybe eventually once a week if there's actually appetite for that kind of thing. Hard for me to imagine. Also, like when it comes to just so everybody understands where I'm coming at with all this and where I'm at with, you know, the development of it and how I see it. Live stream stuff, I've had a couple people mention that. I don't know that I'm ready for live stream stuff. I am just a normal dude. I don't claim to be some kind of, you know, fish expert, coral expert, industry expert. Like, I'm not claiming to be any kind of expert. So, like, you know, if I'm an idiot, I want the option to delete that video. So, I don't want that out there for the world to see forever. But I don't know. Maybe you guys will accept me as I am, and I will feel comfortable doing that eventually. A live stream might be in the cards at some point. But for now, how I plan to approach this endeavor is on my recent tank update for March 2024, I kind of put out the call and said, hey, do you guys have like Q&A questions that you want to ask me? And I actually got some great responses. People do want to know things about what I think and, you know, want to know about my tank and just have like general questions about how I see things or what my favorite whatever is. And, you know, that was a little bit unexpected. I didn't think that there would be, you know, a pretty concerted yearning for some of that from me. But since there is, I'll give it to you. And that's kind of like this episode. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these questions at my own pace. I don't know how long this is going to be. I'm just going to talk. And at the end of the episode, or like not the end, but like at some point I'll reach the end of the questions. And I actually have a final question that will kick off like my solo bit of this. And I think that's how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to like, you know, take what you guys want to know from me once a month or once a week or like whatever, and then choose something in there that like I think that I can talk about for a little bit and just talk at you if you want to listen to that portion of it. And I don't think I'm going to get into like time stamping where that is or anything, so I'm sorry if I annoy people, but like at some point we'll reach that last question and I'll kind of kick off that bit. So let's just start. I don't have any transitions or anything like that, so this is transition. I'm just starting. Let's see here. So first question I got, this is, I guess, the Q&A portion. And by the way, I don't sell merch or have members or have like Patreon or like anything like that. And I don't think I ever will. Again, it's like, I don't want to do that, but also like, it's just too much for me to manage. I'm just not that guy. So like my member questions are like just all of the people who subscribe to me. I'll try to get to as many of them as I reasonably can, right? Until I like run out of steam. So, all right, the first question I got was, your tank's light is too white and not blue enough for an American reef tank. Why? So, as you guys can see, it's kind of ironic that's the first question because, I mean, if I talk long enough, you'll see my Quanta Pros that are like daylight spectrum kick on. And it will bathe the tank in white light because I prefer that. I just genuinely prefer to see white light, whiter light, I should say, on my corals. And I kind of rely, like you can see right now, it's the lights are ramping up for the day. I rely on those three Radeon XR15s to provide my like black light party in the very morning and then at the end of the evening. So I get like, I don't show it in many videos because I typically film my videos between classes in the middle of the day when the white lights are on. So for the majority of the day, I do have those white lights, but I also get to enjoy the pop. You see what I mean? Like, corals are popping right now, for sure. So, also, I do keep those XR15s on AB Plus spectrum. And so there is, it's hard to see on camera, but there is still pop on the corals, even with all that white light in the tank in the middle of the day. So I'm really happy with the spectrum and appearance of the tank. And I think the question, he specifically said American reef tank. I think the question may be alluding to the fact that in this hobby, it's so interesting to me. And I love that there's like this differentiation of like trends. But like in Europe, when you look at European reef tanks, they are a lot more crispy white, like way more. By and large, of course, like there's going to be a few European reef keepers who like the deep blue, just like there's a few American reef keepers who like the crisp white. And it's interesting that that is like the dominant look in the hobby over there. But in America, definitely when you look at reef tanks, they are definitely like a lot of the time this blue all day, that like what you're seeing right now. So I think I do understand what he's saying. I think he may be an English is his second language fella. But I think what he's asking is like typically an American reef tank, it's like this, what you're looking at right now. Like, you know, explain this to me. And it's like, I'm just not, it's just my preference. It's purely a preference thing. So I might be in the minority in my country, but you know, that's what I like. So the next question comes from, and I don't know, you guys will have to tell me, do you want me to read your names out? Is that okay with you? I'm going to do it this first episode, but if you don't like that, I'll stop. I can just like read it like it's a list of questions, but these questions come from Kloppy. And I think Kloppy was the one who initially asked that I do a Q&A. So, I mean, part of me really, you know, going full steam ahead with the podcast is due to Kloppy like requesting this Q&A, which gave me what I felt like was enough material to actually do this. So I'm going to spend a lot of time on Kloppy because Kloppy wanted to know some things, and I appreciate that. His big question to me, and he called it out as his major question, is why do you enjoy reefing? So it kind of gets back to, in a different way, like the heart of the podcast. And again, this is going to sound like some like lofty rhetoric, so grit your teeth. But like, reefing to me is a sanctuary where a sanctuary with, and in that sanctuary, because it's something that is so for me in this world, like in my little world, within that sanctuary is a marriage of two of my very favorite things. I love living creatures. I love them. And I also like, by the way, all living creatures. I have like a pet Greek tortoise, and I've had dogs, cats, you know, freshwater. I came from a family that didn't like pets, and I always wanted pets, and I've always loved living things. So, and caring for them, it doesn't feel like work to me caring for other living creatures. I really like doing it. So there's that, right? Which is great. But also, and you guys know this if you follow my channel, I'm a gear junkie. I'm a tech head. I can't stop, whether it's DIY, whether it's some fancy bell or whistle. Like, you can you take a look at my recent video about the overall cost of my tank. Good Lord. Like, I love tech and making things work together and, you know, operating various systems that all combine to create a desired effect. So those two aspects of me, which comprise like a huge part of my passions in life, were able to come together into one for this hobby. And that's why I know, like, despite the fact that I've had plenty of like hobbies and stuff in the past, this one has outlasted all of them and it will last forever. It is a perfect sanctuary for me to escape to, like almost perfect built for the kind of person that I am. And I love that about reef keeping. So that's the big answer on why I enjoy reefing. And a growing element, I will mention, Kloppy, is that a growing element is that my daughter is so, so interested in it. And is, I mean, like, she knows more about, she's five, and she knows more about fish and coral and how, like, you know, systems of aquariums work than, like, anybody else in her life besides me. I mean, she is a super bright kid, and she's, like, all in. She just wants to do this with Dad, and I think that's the coolest thing ever. So, yeah, it's a super rewarding thing for me. Funniest reefing story actually does involve my kid, so my funniest reefing story. I'm trying to think of how to best tell it. So when I moved across the country to this house and started this tank, but when I moved across the country, I hope none of you have ever had to do that, and I hope you never do. When you move with that, like a whole, you know, buckets of live rock and coral and reef creatures, it doesn't matter how you do it, they're basically in dire straits the second you take them out of the tank and put them into those buckets. So when I moved in, I had like a 50-gallon tote that I dumped everything into and jerry-rigged a light over the top of it. You may be able to go on my Instagram and find early pictures of, like, you know, that tote sitting on my windowsill with a light propped up against it. And it was clear immediately, despite doing like daily water changes and stuff like that, like these fish are struggling, and the corals were dying. I lost a ton of coral. I lost a couple of like really nice colonies of coral. It was a bad situation. So setting up the new tank was like priority one, right? So I set this thing up. Unfortunately, it was a race against time. So, and I love my animals, so I was like, I gotta get this thing going. So in hindsight being 2020, I wish I'd had the luxury and maybe sold off what I had and just had the luxury of taking my time with the system, but I didn't have that. So I get the tank up, and I had two pairs of clownfish that were in this 50-gallon tote. You're probably already picking up on where this is going. So in the tote, under duress, you know, they didn't care about each other. They didn't care to go to war because they were on their last leg. I mean, these things had suffered. So I've got the new tank up. I put the water in, and I'm like, all right, I'm dumping in this bacteria, and the first fish I'm putting in here are the clowns, because for some reason they seemed the weakest. Normally they're pretty strong fish, but I don't know what circumstance about the whole thing led them to be the weakest, but I was like, I'm getting these clowns out. So I get the clowns out, I dump them in, and predictably, immediately, they go to war, right? That's just what clowns do when they're in a confined space together. So, especially when they're comfortable. Like, they get comfortable, they're like, what do we do? Let's fight. So one pair of clowns was really taking a beating, and I was like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I have a secondary tank, my Fluval Evo. Sorry about the Apex auto feeder, by the way. We'll talk about that later, probably. I'm sure you could hear it. It's loud. I was like, all right, I got to go to work. I don't have a lid on my tank yet. You know, this situation is dicey, but I got to come back to it later. I come home from work, and my kid's playing with these little lifelike reef toys that we had bought her. These little figurines that are like true to life sized fish. And there's like a yellow tang, clownfish, wrasses, gobies, whatever, all in this nice little sack. They were kind of expensive, but they were like really nice. And the kid was really getting into looking at the reef tank. So, that was a toy we had got for her, was this pack of little lifelike fish. So I came home from work, and we were trying to stay on the kid to pick up her toys. She was getting bad about it. So I said, hey, make sure you put all those away. And she's like, all right, Dad. So I start making dinner. A little while later, I walk in and into the living room, and I look down, and there's one of her clownfish toys laying on the ground. And I'm like, ah, hey, kid, why did you leave your toy out? And she's sitting on the couch and she's like, she picks up the sack in her hand and looks at it and goes, I have all my toys in here. I look down again and it literally is a live clownfish, like gasping its last breaths on the floor. I'm like, oh my God. So I scooped a live clownfish, throw it back in the tank. And for like 3 or 4 minutes, this thing is just like mouth opening and shutting, gills, you know, just panting, panting, panting. And it's not even swimming. It's just like getting thrown around by the power head in a circle. I'm like, oh, it's going to die. It's going to die. Luckily, about 5 minutes in, it started to move itself around under its own power. And it slowly regained its strength. And I mean, I could have saved that fish with 5 seconds left for all I know, because it was so close to tapping out. So yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if that story is actually funny when you hear it like here, but like, it was funny walking in and being like, hey, you know, why didn't you pick up this toy? She's like, yeah, I have all my toys. I'm like, then what's this? It's a live clownfish. So yeah, that was pretty good. Still with Kalapi, what is your favorite reefing YouTube channel? Which, like, oh man, let me think how to, you know, I don't know that I could even pick one. Here's how I kind of think about, I guess, videos in the hobby. So there are two kinds, as long as it's not like a business or something, it's like a person running a YouTube channel. I think there are really two kinds of YouTube channels in this hobby. There are what I would consider polished channels and unpolished channels. So I would consider my channel to be unpolished, right? And I don't think I could pick like one particular channel that I like more than others. I think that I would have to choose my favorite polished and my favorite unpolished YouTube channels in reefing. So my favorite polished channel, and by polished, I mean like, you know, they're putting background music into it. They have maybe an intro. They have, words that they superimpose to give information while they're talking. They have clipped out the times that they cough or have awkward moments of speech and stitched it back together. Like, they've revised it. They've thought it through. They've spent time with it. A tremendous amount of effort that I neither have the talent nor the time nor the, you know, that's not part of my goal. So polished YouTube channel that's my favorite would have to be Reef Dork. And I just think that Alex makes videos, his polished videos on his main channel that are so, they are so friendly and widely accessible that it's not until you tap into his like Reef Dork Extra channel or like listen to his live streams every week that like you realize at that point what a deeply intelligent guy he is. Like, he is what I would consider a deeply, deeply intelligent man. And he has a very good grasp of what he's trying to do. And that's why he's got like two channels. Like, he has more like stable vlog style stuff that he puts on his Reef Dork Extra channel for people like more like us or me that want to see like the nitty gritty. And then he's got his polished channel that is accessible to anyone from more experienced reef keepers on down to people who are just thinking about getting into the hobby. And there's tons of good information there, but he presents it in such an efficient and succinct way with such like engaging music, and you know, his voice is more up tempo, so that you know, keeping people's attention on YouTube videos is hard. I see the you know, on a 10-minute video, my average view time, and it's like, I mean, people don't have attention spans for stuff that they're not interested in. And he does such a good job of like being aware of what he needs to do to keep people invested and engaged. And in that way, I truly believe the guy is growing the hobby. Like, I really do. Like, on the front end, he's growing the hobby, because there's people who would watch like even like 52 weeks of reefing from BRS, like the original 52 weeks, and they would just check out. I mean, there's a lot of that that's just like too much, and they're not at a point yet where they can access that. And also like maybe like Matthew at BRS, like, he's another, like, up-tempo dude, but, like, I think that he's, like, way too up-tempo. I mean, I can't get off of Matthew shorts and Matthew, like, videos fast enough when they pop up. It's too much, man. And, like, maybe there's, like, a bubbly, super hyper-positive Reef Keeper contingent that can listen to Matthew all day long, but, like, you know, I'm not knocking the guy. He does it. It's his job, right? But, like, I can't do that. But I can do Alex. Like, I can 100%, like, up-tempo Alex, polished Alex on his main channel. Oh, yeah, I can do that all day. So he just, like, walks a really good, balanced line. And the guy knows his equipment. He's thought through dosing. He's thought through, you know, like, specialized tanks and how to kind of parse that. And he is very slow to make, like, major moves because he's going to think everything through before he does it. I could go on. I'll cut it short and just tell you what he's doing is really impressive and totally worth following. You will learn something. And his live stream / podcast is just, I can't recommend it enough to, like, Reef Keepers who are deep in the hobby. It's really good. And by the way, Ryan brings a whole knowledge of, like, the biological side of it to that podcast that, like, you know, I think Alex is clearly pretty gear driven. As much as he loves the coral and as talented of a Reef Keeper as he is, I think he knows that bringing Ryan in, I mean, not only are they funny because they're friends and it's just really entertaining to watch them, you know, have that chemistry together, it's also really good to, like, have Ryan with his deep biological side weigh in on things and just kind of, like, knock their perspectives together and see what sticks. It's really good. So, unpolished, let's just call it, he would hate that I said this, let's just call it, like, refluencers, right? Refluencers, influencers, unpolished side, I would definitely say Telegram. I think it probably is not a surprise to you guys. And, like, it's funny, like, I, as you can tell from my tank, I am, like, if you've watched any of my YouTube videos, I'm, like, a poster child of the aperture world. It's almost ironic that I'm, like, you know, a guy who's, like, kind of in the vein of thought of, like, a Telegram that's, like, hey, like, there are definite alternatives and definite affordable ways to do this hobby, and you should really be thinking through your gear before just jumping to the shiniest thing with the biggest price tag and assuming it's the best, et cetera, et cetera. I've become that over time. After I was the idiot that just, like, fell for every single BRS infomercial. Like, I literally, and again, at the time, I was in a job where I made a lot of money, so I could just drop that money. But, like, I put no research into anything beyond, oh, that infomercial is shiny and, you know, happy and, you know, a whole bunch of people are saying they love it. It must be great. I'm buying that. Right? Like, I'm getting Radeons, I'm getting brand name wave makers, I'm getting, you know, a whole Neptune system on my, you know, everything. I was just, like, you know, I was hooked. And then over time, especially after the Aperture buyout of Neptune, BRS, Ecotech, and AI, I really started to notice some things on my own that were leading me to question what was going on over there. And it was like, I had followed Telegram, but, you know, kind of as a tertiary influencer. And then things that I was realizing on my own, I began to go, oh, wait a minute, didn't he say that before? Wait a minute, didn't he have a comment about that? Wait a minute. And suddenly, like, I started to rewatch some Telegram live streams and follow what he was doing on Instagram more closely. And just pieces started to fall into place. And I was kind of like, okay, like, a lot of, like, my emotions about, like, the like, you know, bought and paid for, sponsored, ambassador-style influencers and the market that is behind them, which is in this hobby, typically an aperture-driven you know, effort. A lot of it was confirmed for me pretty quickly. And I just, you know, wherever you fall in that conversation, like, just know I'm not really going to hold back on these podcasts when I talk about, like, where I stand on this. So I'm not trying to, like, you know, I'm not trying to anger anybody if they enjoy listening to me, but they roll their eyes when I get to talking about this kind of thing. But, like, I am going to talk about, like, my feelings on that. And, like, Telegram quickly became my favorite unpolished entity in the hobby because so much of what he said prior to me kind of waking up to some of it, and then so much of what he continues to do, not just like to expose a lot of fallacies that are going on in a lot of, you know, weird marketing efforts and misinformation and stuff like that, but like what he's doing to make the hobby more accessible to people who would watch all that marketing and all of that gloss and all of those, you know, super hyper bubbly, you know, Matthew or Thomas at BRS wannabe influencers and think, oh, this hobby's actually not for me because I need all of that stuff to succeed. Telegram's like sole mission is to break down that assumption. And so I have tremendous respect for that because almost nobody's doing that, right? And I think that core goal is downright noble. So yeah, if you don't follow Telegram, I would highly, highly suggest. He got back on YouTube recently after taking a little break, and you know, he's posts videos that he finds to be useful, and he also, you know, has, I think he's done a live stream or two since he's come back. So you can check that out, but I'd follow him on Instagram. That's where he's most active, and it's just a brilliant kind of like blog that's informational and funny, and you should do it. So those are my two favorites, polished side and unpolished side. Great question, by the way, and we're like half an hour into this, and I've only answered Kloppy questions and one other, so but Kloppy deserves this. So my most underrated, my favorite underrated coral fish and piece of gear. So I'll go backwards. My favorite underrated piece of gear right now is my EcoFlow battery backup. Okay. I've done 3 videos on it. So go find those if you want to look at it. But this was a Telegram find, and I snapped one up while it was on sale. And then I was like, whoa, like, you know, even beyond Jim's initial recommendation on this unit, once I like saw the app interface for it and the digital readouts on the front of it and all the different capabilities for charging things and ways that you can charge the unit, the longevity of the lithium iron phosphate battery, and like once the whole package came together in this little like 7-pound really good looking battery that I can literally leave out on my water station and like not be embarrassed about, I was like, okay, this right here, like it's a backup battery. So yeah, it's underrated because it's boring, right? People don't really care about that kind of stuff very often, or they don't care about it enough to talk about it at length. I think it's critically important. Like I was having tremendous guilt over having a crappy UPS backup battery unit on the tank. And once I replaced it, I was like, okay, this is a next level move. I absolutely love it. So, right now, most underrated piece of gear, a good backup battery, specifically for me, the EcoFlow River 2. Tremendous unit. Underrated fish, I would have to say my Scarlet Hawk fish. I know that, like, right there on top of the reef, you see, okay, he's always in the shadows. You rewind it, and you'll see him swim up and over the left-hand side of the reef, like over that bright green Acropora on the left, on the top of the scape. So that fish, despite the fact that he hangs out in the shadows a lot, because I think they are nocturnal, literally one of the most like personality-filled fish. I love that long-nosed hawkfish. I can watch his weird little quirky behavior in the tank all day. They're not that expensive. They eat pests in your tank. They're not going to like eradicate all the pests in your tank, but they will eat pests. So yeah, totally underrated fish. And underrated coral, I would have to say, I probably said this in videos before, but I think Dunkin' Corals are really underrated. And you guys probably do not agree. A lot of people don't agree. I think Dunkin' Corals are underrated because I consider them to be one of the best filler corals. And by that, I mean, instead of having 100 minute frags, you know, just studying the reefscape, I think it's good to have some filler coral in there to like provide movement and depth and just, you know, make your tank a more complete experience to the eye. And Dunkin' Corals are so good for that. The Dunkin' Corals are not like hyper aggressive or anything. They grow well. They're bulletproof. I love my Dunkin' Corals, and they're cheap. They're cheap. I know they're not like some crazy glow in the dark color. Like you can see right now under the deep blues, they're not really like glowing in the dark or anything, but I love Dunkin' Corals. I highly recommend them. And then Kloppy's last question, what new trend do you think will happen in reefing? I would say that the new trend in reefing that has already begun is a greater focus on bacteria than ever before, right? Definitely a greater focus on bacteria. And this is like one of my weakest points in reef keeping. So like you won't see a lot of videos on me anytime soon on this. I'm just getting into it. But when I see people like Telegram starting to figure out bacteria, he's as much as he clearly loves his animals, I can tell like guys like Telegram are, you know, he's like a gear guy through and through because he understands the gear on a level that most of us cannot access. Like the way he can talk about gear, I'll never attain that. Like I will never attain that through his like education and life experiences that he's, you know, brushed on before in his live streams. Like he has a next level knowledge set that he provides the hobby that like a guy like me never could. Just as a quick aside, guys like Alex, guys like Telegram, they have skill sets and their intellect works in a way that like, I certainly am not as bright as those guys especially when it comes to specialized pieces of the hobby that they, you know, really have done deep work in. Somebody asked me on a different video, where do you see your channel falling? My answer is I'm in a nebulous space between like Alex and Telegram, and I don't even know how to define it. Like I don't know how to define it. It seems to be different things for different people who follow along video to video with what I'm doing. Just a quick aside to address that. It was not a question that was asked in my Q&A stuff, but for anybody who's listening to this for the first time and wants to know like what is this guy? Where does he fall? I don't know. I'm somewhere in the nebulous middle. I would say that my style is like stable vlog style, meaning it's not like me doing a selfie shot, yelling at you about a new skimmer that's on the market, and then panning over to my tank and then panning back to my face. And like that to me, like Casey Neistat style stuff, that's not me, right? I will never be that. In fact, I don't know that I would ever show my face on this channel, but I certainly am more of a vlog style guy because I'm so simplistic with how I film, and it's just me, you know, fairly unfiltered, even on like quote unquote planned videos. But I try to stabilize it. I try to not be like, you know, what's the Blair Witch Project where the camera's just like all over. That makes me sick when I see vlog styles like that. Like as much as I love Inappropriate Reefer, I struggle to watch some of his videos because he's like, you know, boom, 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 like all over the place. And that's just his personality. By the way, I struggle to watch March over at Fragbox Coral for the same reason. He's got severe ADHD. He's very open about it. And he's just like, bam, 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 everywhere with his camera. I can't do that. So because I don't like that, I try to stabilize things for people. So yeah, that's like, I'm like a stable vlog style, zero production value channel. That's just some guy who's not nearly as on the intellectual reefing level or gear knowledge level of like a Telegram, or I have nowhere near the polish and engagement of a reef dork. So I don't really know why you guys follow me, but like, I'm glad you do. And I think that what's happening in reefing, because I see people like Reef Dorks and Telegrams talking about and focusing about, especially in their deep content, more on bacteria, I'm like, yeah, this is happening now. We're moving away from the pH rage and into bacteria rage slowly. And I would say that some of this is being driven by Salem Clements over at Reef Builders. By the way, if you haven't heard that guy talk, I mean, this is like a formally educated expert in marine microbiome who's like, I'm sorry if I'm saying this wrong, if Salem ever listens to this. I think he does sometimes listen to my channel. But that guy is so singularly bright. I mean, he literally represents like a major part of the future of the hobby to me at this point. And it's interesting to me that he is formally educated in this stuff. And instead of like us losing him, not that he would not contribute, but instead of us losing him to like a research station out on some coral atoll in the Pacific, where he would add to the hobby in the background, we have him in the foreground. The hobby is so far, we have him for us. Like, and he's doing all of this research and giving his insight. And he's doing that for us in the foreground, visible, which is unbelievable. It's a gift. What's interesting about him to me, as an educator, I can recognize this in people. I'm not... Here, let me just say, he has a rare talent, on top of being a really, really bright guy. He can also convey complex things that most reefers would think were inaccessible to them, in a way that suddenly makes them seem accessible. That, even in the education community, is exceedingly rare. I would say I achieved that on my best day of lecture ever in a semester. And here's Salem. Every time he talks, I feel like that. I'm like, this kid's a rare talent. So kudos to Raj over at Reef Builders for recognizing that rare talent, because I want Salem around for a long time, and I think he's going to drive... He is going to drive the hobby into a more micro level. Instead of focusing on all these big picture things that we always have, we've got a lot of those nailed down at this point. So now we're going to start looking for the things that we can't see. And a lot of that's going to be driven by voices like Salem. So, all right, Kloppy, I'm finally done with you. Yeah, but you had some great questions, man. Next question, Gomi. I think it's Gomi. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, man. Gomi is one of his channels, Gomi's Reef. You should follow him on Instagram. Really good follow. He's actually like become a friend of mine. I really appreciate all his conversation that he gives me and like his perspective on things. He tends to, you know, follow more in that same vein that I was talking about earlier, where he's, you know, critical first about big money in the hobby and like looking for alternatives and ways that the common person can access this hobby. I just appreciate that. So I want to say that to him. And if I'm saying your name wrong, man, tell me I'm saying your channel name wrong. But I think it's Gomi's Reef, and I think it's Gomi. Could be wrong. Anyway, he asks, why are you causing trouble with our spouses regarding the cost of reefing? Which, if you've watched my recent videos assessing the fiscal impact of reef keeping, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, man. I must have like a death wish, because I know that some people were definitely watching that video with like captions on mute. Because like, I want to know how much this costs, but like, oh my God, like if I'm doing this hobby, I certainly don't want my spouse to hear. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I am lucky, by the way, that my wife, first of all, I mean, she knows it's expensive. Like, she stays on me and keeps me in check about expenses in the hobby. I try to self-police, but she will police me if I get too crazy. And also, her own estimate for how much all of this was is actually a touch higher than the actual number when I determined it. So that's not a win, by the way. It doesn't feel even like a minor win, but like it's at least not worse than she thought it was. So I have that going for me. So Reef, who's followed me for a long time. So he's asking about the Tidal Gardens frags that were full of pests that came to me from Tidal Gardens recently, the acros, they had white bugs on them, which are seed shrimp or ostracods, if you want to get technical with it. He asked, what am I going to do about them? Because presumably they're in the tank now and I have other acros in the tank. Like, what's my course of action from here? So the jury's out on like how effective those things are at jumping from frag to frag. Obviously in a coral farm, frags are like getting moved around and jostled together and stuff. They're going to jump easier than they would in like a tank that is not that full of coral, like my tank. So far on the two remaining acrofrags in the tank, I've seen no sign of infestation. However, if I do see a sign of infestation and I do spot these things on them and I'm watching them closely, my plan would not be to dose the whole tank with Interceptor. It'd be to move them to one of my nano tanks, dose the nano tank as a sacrificial lamb and wipe out its, you know, crustacean biome, and then move these back. But I have fought too long and hard to establish the microbiome on this tank, and I am not giving up ground on it. So I think those bugs only live for like 5 to 7 days without acros to host. So like, I think that, you know, those acros may or may not survive in my less stable nano tanks. But like, if I lose them, I lose them. Like, I'm not gonna, I am choosing the crustacean part of the biome of my tank over the two little acrofrags that I have. So if it comes to pass, hopefully any remaining white bugs could not find those acros and died out. Somebody asked about the percentage that I run my lights at. I explained to her it's tough to say, because I have standard on off Quanta Pros, and then my other lights, my XR15s, I run them at 70%, and the combination of those intensities makes my PAR at the top of my reef like 350 to 400. So like, I'm happy with that. And I don't know, I can't like answer directly unless you had my exact setup. It wouldn't be relevant, I should say, unless you had my exact lighting setup, because I've got two different kinds of products that function differently going at once. So, okay, let's see. Hawkstar has a 13.5 Fluval Evo. He's trying to get his nitrates and phosphates up, which is a great problem to have, by the way. Do you recommend dosing aminos or something else? So I dose what's Acro Power, a small amount of Acro Power to this tank. I might consider dosing a small amount of Acro Power just to make your nitrates register, you know. Make your phosphates register so you know you're not starving anything out and, you know, running into potential issues because your tank is too clean. But I wouldn't, like, stress about it. I would not panic about that. I would just start, like, get some Acro Power. I actually believe that it does some good. I think that my corals looked better after Acro Power had been on the tank for, like, a month. And I would just dose a small amount of Acro Power and just kind of, you know, every weekend test where your nitrates and phosphates are and just kind of, you know, maybe up it, but I wouldn't go crazy with it, you know. I would feel good about yourself knowing that you're putting aminos in that are good for the coral. You're adding something in. If it's not registering, you know you're still adding something, even if it's getting absorbed, like, they're not starving, right? And, I mean, Jake Adams believed heavily in Acro Power, so I based on his testimony, I trust that for sure, so. Jake was a smart dude. So, Brian's Aquariums. I love hearing from Brian's Aquariums. Great channel. So great questions, you know. Let's see. What's your favorite fish in your tank right now and why? Definitely the Melanaris wrasse. And it is because I had, as people know who follow me closely, I had Montipora eating nudibranchs in this tank that were decimating my digitata and decimating my Anacropora. They also eat those, until I added that wrasse, and now they're nowhere. And I can't imagine that's a coincidence. They didn't just disappear the day I put the wrasse in. I think that wrasse, every time it sees one of those horrible little white guys, you know, eating at the base of a, you know, one of my Monoporas, that the little white wavy like tendrils that they have on the back of them has to be attracting the eye of that wrasse. And those guys stand no chance. That wrasse is definitely picking them off. So, by the way, Melanaris wrasse, beautiful fish, peaceful, love watching her swim. I've had a great experience. So, Another Brian's aquarium question. What's your favorite coral in your tank and why? I would probably say my favorite coral in the tank. That's actually pretty difficult. I'd say it's probably the Elegance, because not that many people have them, at least not that are, you know, as healthy as mine that I've seen. I know they're not like rare, but they seem kind of uncommon. And also, it's a coral that my wife enjoys so much that she actually looks at my tank. So, like, that means a lot to me, you know, because she just doesn't have, like, pet animal love, you know. She's just, like, not interested in things like that in the same way that I am. She's, like, a pretty simple dog person. She's like, give me a little dog to pet, I'm good. Like, that's, she's, so all of this is, like, from her perspective, I have to imagine, she's like, this makes him happy. But, like, I can't imagine that making me happy. That's wild that he's so into this. And she just is, like, not an aquarium person. So she doesn't hate on it or anything. She's not like, get these out of my house. But she tolerates it as long as I keep things relatively clean. But she loves the Elegance coral. And so it's kind of become like my baby. Like, if it ever looks a little wan, I'm like, oh no, what's going on? Like, I got to keep that coral alive. That's the one. She looks at the tank to see that coral. So it's a special coral for me. And it does look beautiful, even though it is a fickle beast. If you've watched my videos on it, definitely. It ate a snail yesterday, by the way. So it's fickle for sure. Tactical reef keeping. By the way, great little channel, young guy trying to get into this, working hard. I see improvement on every video. Go check him out for sure. He is trying his darndest. So he says, you know, what are my favorite corals? Ironically enough, my favorite class of corals, or whatever you want to call it, type, is soft corals. If you follow my channel at all, you'll know that's kind of ironic because I have none of them. I am the grim reaper of soft corals. And guys, it's not like, oh, hey, you know, you should try running your lights lower, man. If you love soft corals, that'll probably fix the problem. Guys, I have tried everything. I have tried different flow levels, different types of salt, different, you know, salt level, salinity in the tank, different dosing methodologies, different lights, different light intensities, different spectrums. I have tried it all. And it doesn't matter what tank it's in, I've tried whole different tanks. I kill all soft coral. I love soft coral though. I think it's stunning. And those tanks that are like lagoon tanks that just are like a bed of soft coral, oh my God. I could look at like overhead shots of those tanks all day, but I suck at it. I'm so bad at soft coral. So like, I will say this, even though soft coral is my favorite kind to look at, I don't like love it way, way, way more than LPS or SPS. I love LPS and SPS too. So I don't feel like, you know, disappointed that I'm pretty good at LPS. I got that thriving. I guess okay at SPS, it's not dead, right? But like, yeah, soft coral, I know people are probably laughing, like I could grow that in a mud puddle with table salt. I understand. I just, for whatever reason, it has eluded me. So yeah, good question. Mike Lemming, another one of my very favorite people that comments on a lot of my videos. He says, tank's looking nice now that they've been running for a little bit. By the way, thanks, Mike. Now that they've been running for a little bit, how do you like the Quanta Pro LED bars? I love my Quanta Pros. So, first of all, the guy who produces these things, Luca, is located up in Wisconsin, I think. He posts a lot of Green Bay stuff, so I'm going to go ahead and take a wild stab and say he's up in Wisconsin. And I'm a Midwesterner myself, so they are such high quality, and the appearance that comes off of them and the intensity that I get off of them is just stunning, guys. I don't have much of a reference point. These are my first bar lights, but the comparisons that I saw Telegram make between like the diode setup that Luca was able to go with and create versus competitors on the market that are either, you know, cheaper, so you're getting like a lower quality design. Not that, you know, Chinese, you know, generic light bars are bad. They're actually pretty decent quality for the price. They will grow coral. These are just better, especially with the diode setup. And also, considering the cost of like Orphex in relation to these, and the fact that you have this like diode situation that's better than Orphex in ways, I still feel like I got like for sure a better deal than I did than I would have on Orphex. Also, on this different spectrums and appearances that you can get. So these are Tropic Sun, I want to say. I think Luca's got 5 or 6 different classes of these that you can get with different appearances. So this is like a true daylight spectrum light bar. And they, to me, are just, those combined with XR15's running AB plus spectrum. So I should just say AB plus spectrum in combination with like daylight spectrum light bars. I could not be happier with the appearance of my tank when the lights are on full intensity in the middle of the day. I am thrilled with it. So, but just know if you don't want those daylight spectrum LED bars, Quanta Reef sells many different kinds. They sell ones that, you know, create pop. They sell ones that are like, you know, a more muted blue. They've got a whole gamut of things for you. So I highly suggest checking them out. And they do have around the holidays regular buy one, get one 50% off sales. That's what I did. So keep an eye on them around holidays for sure. I had somebody ask me how to plumb UV. I'm saving that for its own dedicated video. I didn't forget about you though. Anna slays the day. I love that name. So yeah, Anna, I will circle back. Crazy Ryan, how do you know when your reef tank's mature? Is it coral and algae growth? Is there a number of days, months, years? Guys, this is like where I am a disappointment, and like I haven't been in the hobby long enough, or I just don't have the raw intellectual ability to like research and get to that level yet that like a Telegram or a Reef Dork can. And like those guys would have an answer. They would have like a determined answer for you. I would say this. For me, a lot of reefing still, 6 years in, it's like a feel it out game. And my feeling is that your tank is like quote unquote mature when every time a problem ceases, like you beat hair algae, you don't feel like you're turning back around the next day and now there's cyano breaking out. Now they're, oh, I fixed the cyano, now I got diatoms. You know, I fixed that, now a pest is overtaking everything. Now I got, like, when you've gotten to a point in your own development and in the tank's development where you don't feel like there's a pressing concern, and I know it's just a feeling, there's probably like a couple weeks in between problems, but like, when you don't feel like there's always something looming that's gonna, I think at that point, that's when your tank is starting to stabilize. You're getting some more confidence in the system. The system is maturing. Your microbiome is stronger. You know, bacterial colonization has, you know, actually like gotten to a point where it can handle minor problems that might crop up by the time you know, so that you can catch things that are developing and like, you know, put some kind of media on the tank to help it along. Like, when you get to that point, your tank, I think, is maturing. So, sorry for the not exact question or not exact answer, but Gomi coming back with his serious question for the Q&A, which is, what is my dream setup? My dream setup, I know this sounds crazy, but like, it would be to have this tank, but 4 feet deep. So like, it's 4 feet across, like this right now, this is 4 feet. Instead of like just under 2 feet deep, I want it 4 feet deep. It is square. And I would want to put it in the dead center of my living space in the great room of my house, which is not actually that quote unquote great. It's called a great room, but it's not huge, but it's big enough for a 4x4 tank. I would want that in the dead center with lights suspended from the ceiling. That would be, and I would use for sure Philips Coral Care lights if I was going to do that. I'd do like 4 big Philips Coral Care lights suspended from the ceiling over it. And I could just go into like more gear from there. I'm not going to. But like, that's what in my dream world, By the way, I can't. If I had that much money, I would not. I'm sure I would have a mansion if I had money to do that. But I can't even imagine that. So like, I'm imagining it in this space. I love this house anyway. But like, I'm imagining it in this space. That's what I would do. And by the way, it's good that I have that kind of like mental space limitation because I don't want it to be a tank that I can't take care of. I want to take care of the tank. That is part, unless I'm like old and decrepit and I somehow hit the lottery and I can't take care of a tank, but I want to see it in my like advanced old age, I'd probably pay some younger person to come and scrape the glass. Barring that occurring in my life, I want to take care of my tank because it's actually therapeutic for me. I love taking care of my tank. So, part of the deep passion of the hobby is like the regimentation of it. And I know that sounds weird, but like I really enjoy it. Even stuff like scraping the glass, I still deep down enjoy it. So, I have a couple other questions here. I have a couple other questions here that I'm going to get to in videos. Sorry for that long pause, but I'm going to get to these in like dedicated videos. That's part of the reason I love this is that like I've got questions now that I can turn into videos. They're in my queue for YouTube videos. So there's usefulness in this podcast project that then extends over to the channel, which I think is great. So, here's our like, we're an hour in, I guess this is when I'm starting. Here's the question that I'm just gonna like wax poetic at you for a while about. So let me find it so I can give this person credit. I don't know why I can't find it. I'll look it up. Basically the question that is, oh, here we go. Okay. Cole Herman or Herman. Sorry if I'm saying it wrong, man. Do you have any regrets on any hardware or gear that you've gotten, and what product do you think you would have gone with instead? Oh boy. By the way, Gomi responded to this. He sniffed that out right away and was like, oh yeah, like he definitely does because Gomi knows. So this podcast would be another hour if I got into all of this, okay? Because I'm a gear junkie. I research stuff that I will never own. Like, you know, I read every article written about it. I watch every video on it. Like, that's just how I am. So I got to pick a few things. Number one thing that I regret, and by the way, when I say regret, just understand, everything I have is working. Everything I have is contributing to the growth of Coral and my success. And I'm having slow but steady success. So like nothing here is like, you know, I would replace it because it's ruining it for me. Nothing's ruining this for me. Number one thing I'd want to replace, though, is my 3 XR15 G6 Pro reflights. For one, they are a huge disappointment in intensity. Huge. I think the intensity on those is weak, guys. I think that they went cheap with intensity, and I don't know how that's possible. That's a Telegram question. Like, how is like the downward force intensity on the corals possibly this weak when previous iterations, like even the G5, but especially like the G4, they were just like, you know, not cannons of intensity, but they gave you the intensity that you would need at the top of your reef to grow SPS coral confidently. How did we, maybe it's something to do with the refractors or whatever, because they wanted increased spread on the G6. But what that suggests to me, because the G6 is so similar in build to the G5, is that instead of compensating with stronger internals to create more intensity from the G6 to compensate for the amount of additional spread that they created with refractors or whatever you want to call them inside of it, they just were lazy and they were like, we're basically just going to keep doing the same thing because it's cheaper for the factory to just keep turning out the same kit. And we're just going to change the reflectors or refractors or whatever it's and create this additional spread. And then all we're going to focus on is the spread. And now years down the line, with the 2 years in with the G6, we're seeing sales flag. By the way, this is like Ecotec/Aperture looking at the G6 problem, which it is a problem, because after the initial excitement died down, you got like long-term use videos where you have reefers coming out saying these are weak, and it's true, they are weak. So I was running these at like 95% and like not seeing, I had 300 par at the top of my scape or something crazy like that. So like from firsthand experience, I can tell you they're not an intense light. When that started happening, Ecotec went scrambling when the venture capitalists at Aperture said, hey, we got a problem here. What's this PR issue with these lights, you know, costing $500+ and not putting out enough intensity to grow SPS coral? I doubt that venture capitalists even know what the heck any of that is, but somebody's interpreting it for them and then sending it on down the line. And so when they got to Ecotec with this demand that they fix this PR problem, here was their fix, which, by the way, I'm sure that the overlords loved. We're going to sell a new kit that basically takes the G6 light and makes it do what a G4 light years ago did. So effectively, we're going to admit that we went backwards and made the light lesser quality in terms of intensity. And we're going to admit that by releasing a product that is now going to revert the light back into the intensity of the G4, which is what everybody actually wants, because they want coral to grow better. But we're going to charge the customer for that upgrade kit and make more money in the process of admitting our mistake. And the lemmings just can't scramble to get their G6 lens upgrade kit fast enough. That, to me, is infuriating. And if you're an SPS reefer and you encountered that and you paid that money because you're like, I'm already stuck with these lights, they cost so much money, and I gotta get more intensity out of these. I'm running these at 100% and I'm not seeing the growth I should be seeing, so I'm gonna get these. I feel bad for you. Like, I do. And I have the lights. I'm like, I'm not pitying you from some pulpit that I don't have these, you know. I understand. I went through the same thing. Like, I crank them up to 95%. I was scared to run them at 100%. I mean, the things are largely made of plastic. I crank it up to 95% and I'm like, that's all I get? Really? I mean, it was keeping SPS alive, but it wasn't giving me nearly the intensity that I was looking for. So yeah, what would I replace them with? Refi Uno 2.0 Pros, for sure. I think that's how you say the name of that light. They've had a couple of different iterations, so I want to make sure I get it right. But yeah, I on this tank, yeah, like if I had my druthers, I would hang, which by the way, that's been banned by my wife, is drilling things into my ceiling and hanging it. I've already drilled through the wall for like lines and tubes, so I'll take the win on that. This is a good compromise. But I would have loved to hang two Phillips Coral Care units, like boom, boom, right next to each other, front ceiling, you know, hung. That would have been my dream. It would have been a little more expensive than what I ended up doing, I think. It might have been a wash, honestly, but like I just couldn't, you know. My wife was like, I really don't want it. I was like, all right, I'm going to respect that. So yeah, I rolled with this system, and I so wish that I had gone Refi Uno, for sure. When you look at the build quality of what you're getting for the money there, the internals are unbelievable. Like, the heat management of those things, it's unbelievable. Like, you're getting actual product quality. And they don't have this issue with the, like, oh, well, we didn't want to change what the factory was doing, so we just basically are doing the same product with refractors in it, and we're just going to sell it for more than the G5. And then, you know, we're gonna get you twice when you come back and you need, like, that's terrible. Ecotec should be ashamed. But here's the thing. I don't even know that if Aperture hadn't been pulling strings there, that like that's what would have happened. I really, like, I hesitate to attack the people at like Ecotec, AI, Neptune. I mean, look at Neptune right now. That's another thing I'd change, all right? Let's go there. I would definitely be getting GHL, for sure, right? Hydros is compelling. I don't think it's quite for me. Maybe I don't understand it enough. A lot of people love Hydros, so I totally respect that love. But I wouldn't be going Neptune, one, because, like, it's cheaply built, guys. Like, you can just feel it. It's just, like, clicky, you know, plastic. Like, like half the Neptune components, I don't want to touch them because I literally lose confidence in the product when I touch it physically. It looks good, and then I touch it, and it's like, squeak, click, creak. And I'm like, oh my God, I paid $500 for this. Like, I would just get a different controller system, guys. I would go with GHL. Like, the build quality is undeniable. And, like, that build quality means something to me. As far as the software goes, no, it doesn't look as intuitive or enjoyable to me, but I don't really care about that so much anymore. I want build quality, and, like, I understand that, like, software can be, here's the thing, software can be changed later, okay? You can give feedback to a company, and, like, they'll develop it for a couple years and change software. That's easy. What's hard is hardware, because hardware is already in your system. You already bought it. It's already been made. And Neptune hardware is just not, like, I've had good luck with it, by the way. I'm not, like, ragging on Neptune. Like, if you are compelled by their system, you should just, you know, I'm not saying anything like that. Like, if you love the Neptune system and their software and, you know, how it works and the coding that you do for it, like, great. That's fine. There's no denying, though, that the hardware side of Neptune is weak. It's just weak, guys. And so, here's the thing, to get back to this Aperture point that I'm making. Like, I don't know that Ecotech would have done what they did without Aperture pulling the strings. And I certainly don't think that Neptune would have chosen to move themselves from California to Pennsylvania, which, by the way, people don't know this. That's happening right now. Neptune has been a California company with longtime, highly experienced reefing employees who have been there since the inception of it. And literally, here comes Big Daddy Aperture. Hey, we just bought you. We're going to give you like a year to get your head around that. And now we're going to ask you to uproot your entire world. And we're just going to move you to Pennsylvania. Now, I understand some can do remote work, right? But not everybody can just do remote work and get away with it. So I have to believe that there's going to be attrition. Like, there's going to be losses of experienced personnel at Neptune. By the way, you think you can just, like, move that production to Pennsylvania? By the way, they're moving it to Pennsylvania to be close to Ecotech. I'm sure it's going to be in the vicinity of Bethlehem. I think that's where Ecotech is. Is it Bethlehem? Or maybe not, but somewhere in Pennsylvania. They want to centralize everything because Aperture's big theme on the internal side of what they're doing is control, control, control. Market grip and control everything together so we can see everything. It's just like it's corporate America, you know, approach 101. We're going to put everything together in one spot so we can watch everybody and make sure they're doing exactly what we want them to do. So they ripped all those Neptune employees, the whole company out, and are like, okay, we're just going to transplant you. That's why if you go to the Neptune website right now, you can't buy anything. It's all out of stock. They're like, if you need anything, you have to just like reach out to us. The response times are terrible. You can't buy the stuff anywhere. And who knows how long it'll be before, because like now there's a backlog of need for Neptune products. So even when you get the trickle of production that starts up, it's going to be slow, guys, until like they can really start to crank on this and they satiate the need that people have already built up for products that are not available. And I just don't know. I don't know what Neptune looks like after this. So like if I'm in the market for a controller, I'm like, I would look at Neptune knowing that all that and be like, that is a company not on firm footing. Who knows what happens with that? Like, are they going to lose a ton of experienced personnel? Can they train new people adequately? What if they lose so much experienced personnel that, like, you know, the new people are, like, just, you know, not well-trained and the company doesn't operate nearly as well as it did before? And by the way, I had my issues with the way it operated before anyway. Like, what if it's worse now? what if production never quite catches up, right? Or there's production issues because they had things down pat out there the way that they were doing it. Not that the build quality is great, but you know, what if that gets worse? Like, all these are valid concerns. You don't know what this looks like after it all shakes out. So yeah, that's another thing. Just to tack onto it, don't ever buy Neptune auto feeders. They're the single most plasticky, by the way, they're ripped off of some Chinese company. I've seen the what they ripped it off of, the design of it, which by the way is somehow silent. I don't know why the Neptune auto feeder sounds like a freight train going through my living room, but it literally is the one thing, the one noise on this tank that when it happens, my spouse grits her teeth and stares at me and I'm like, well, I'm a control freak, LOL. Like, why did I buy those for how much money they cost? It's just not smart. To be honest with you, even though Reef Factory stabbed Champion Lighting and Supply in the back, and I had lost a ton of respect for Reef Factory, I think that their products, especially with regards to like their auto feeder and some of their dosing stuff, and I'm pretty curious about some of their products. By the way, when I say that about Reef Factory, I don't know what really happened in the background. Like, nobody knows what really happens in the corporate boardrooms of the world or the digital corporate boardrooms of the world. But, like, basically people have generally decided that the story goes that Reef Factory stabbed Champion Lighting and Supply in the back when they had given distribution in America to them and went over to BRS. And from a business standpoint, I guess, like, I'm quick to criticize, but I will say that I did notice Champion Lighting and Supply was a little bit slow to get, like, product information and such on their website. So I don't know if that played any part in it or if maybe that information, like, was not given to them quickly enough because Reef Factory was already talking to BRS. I don't know. So take everything that anyone says, including what I say, with a grain of salt. And just know that when I say stuff, nobody knows what really happened behind closed doors, but I was kind of rushing to get some Reef Factory stuff to try it. And I will say that due to this and the unknown factor of like why they betrayed people they'd made agreements with and then went over to Aperture's machine, outside of money, like, I don't know why. It just is suspect to me, and it made it so I'm not desperate to grab Reef Factory stuff. The one thing I am interested in is their smart auto feeder. I do like to have a smart functionality on an auto feeder. Maybe that's foolish, but the way their auto feeder works, if you look at it, you can really pinpoint the amount of food that comes out of it too. So, and it's silent. So I am interested in that. I gotta be careful not to rant too hard on here, guys. I don't want to make claims and, you know, get in trouble for making claims about things I don't know, but I am human. And, current knowledge in the hobby is that Reef Factory was kind of a jerk. So, at least in America. So trying to think about anything else that I want to cover gear wise on this tank that I don't like. Pretty happy with AI Neuro powerheads, I got to say. Although I don't think I'd lose much if I went over to like, you know, Jabal's, more modern offerings that they've got. I don't think I'd like lose a whole lot if I went that direction. And again, this is another thing that like hurts about the whole like uncertainty about Reef Factory and like why they did what they did. I'm really interested in the smart wave pumps from Reef Factory that are like, they're like Jabal's, but done better. Like, you can tell the quality looks better. They have an app interface that you can control them with, which that's something that Jabal's always struggled with, is like, you know, English app interface. So like, again, that's just like, you know, I wish I knew more about that. Maybe you guys know more about it than me. This is just what I've picked up, you know, as far as I know. So other things. Can't really think. I think I've covered the big ones. Lights, would be curious about other wave makers, but I'm okay with these. Neptune auto feeders in particular are horrendous, but also I'm just uncertain about Neptune in general, and I think their products are cheaply built, so I'd get, you know, not Neptune stuff. I'd go with GHL. And I can't really, Everything else I'm pretty happy with. I would maybe dose, not that it's a product, but I would maybe dose something other than BRS supplements. I've been on BRS, you know, quote unquote pharma grade alkalinity, calcium, magnesium for a while. It is a pretty good price point, but it is like not a super potent solution. So I'm sure that there's something out there that is more intense than that, that like, you know, provides a more potent drip, and is like, if you factor in the potency of it, or the concentration level, I guess is probably the right way of saying it, that it's actually like as good or better of a deal. So if you guys know any, like, I don't want to do some weird system. I want three part. And this is, remember, Kalkwasser is the foundation of my dosing. So I use three part to dial in, like, with precision, my levels of elements in my tank. So I want like a three part, real three part solution, like, you know, alkalinity, calcium, magnesium. I'm putting that to you guys because I would really, if somebody has some good insight into like, you know, relatively cost effective alternative to BRS Pharma, please give it to me because I hate going back again and again and again to BRS for stuff when I don't fully agree. And I'm not going to get that deep into it, I guess. This podcast would go too long, but I just don't really agree with Aperture and what it's doing and what its end goals are. You know, and I know I have some subscribers who have very deep thoughts on it and are like, this is not a valid concern, or it's not like, it's not worth being concerned about. You can't actually change it. And like, I respect that. I understand, you know, I understand wanting Reefing to like not be about this, but I think that's kind of why I'm doing these podcasts. And by the way, those people who disagree with me, you're more than welcome to talk on the pod. Like, please comment about it. I love, especially, by the way, Dusk. Dusk is one of my very favorite subscribers when it comes to this. He says he doesn't keep me honest, but I feel like he keeps me honest in that he doesn't like challenge me, but like when I say something about like, you know, I can't stand Aperture for this reason or that reason, he'll come and present like an alternative view. Like, what if there's more money in Aperture? So like, what if they, you know, start, once everything settles out, they start developing and innovating bigger and better than they could have as independent small companies that had less, you know, less of a war chest behind them. Like, that's a valid, you know, I want to have that conversation. So like, I never want people to just blindly agree with me unless they really do agree with me. Even if you present an alternative viewpoint, it makes me more intelligent about what I'm saying. And I don't want to sound like an idiot. I know I do sometimes, but I don't want to sound like an idiot all the time. So I welcome the discourse. I really do. I'm an academic. I want the discourse, right? I thrive on that. So, all right, guys. This is like the end of the first episode of the We the Reefers podcast, which is strange. I will say to foreign viewers, like, who may not know the, like, we the, you know, it's We the People that I'm taking that riff from. I don't think I said much about that at the beginning. And I'm not taking it, I will say, from the political party that was recently formed by a gentleman with the last name Kennedy. I am aware that a We the People party has formed in the United States as like an alternate political party that has virtually no chance of unseating the duopoly that we have now between Republicans and Democrats in this country. But I'm not taking it from that, though it is. And by the way, I'm an apolitical guy. I can't stand any of these super wealthy, really old dudes who just are entrenched in power and trying to run all of this. I'm so tired of outdated, super rich people who can't relate to the American people trying to run all of it. I'm totally politically jaded, guys. So like, this in no way is the name of this podcast like some kind of secret thing where I'm a Kennedy guy or so. I'm not. I look at all of it with all the doubt in the world. I can't pick one politician that I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. Like, no way. They suck. So but I do kind of like the, I do kind of like the ring of it, one, and two, I just like the thought of like this is a something for us, like the reefers, not corporate reefing, not big reefing, not reefing marketing, not reefing ambassadors, not reefing sponsored people, not, it's reefers, just normal reefers, right? Like people with normal jobs who are in this hobby and trying to figure it out and get better at it. That's why I like the name of the podcast. So if you enjoyed any of this and you're still listening to me like 90 minutes in, let me know. Let me know if you have ideas for me, what you liked, what you didn't like. I can take it. I'm trust me, nothing you say to me is something that I haven't said to myself 2 inches from the mirror. All right. Like I'm literally I'm just like some guy. It's not a big deal. I'm not some brilliant dude. I'm just trying to produce something every now and then when my schedule allows that people can enjoy, that maybe adds something or provides a little bit of peace or sanctuary from like the common reefing influencer in this hobby right now. So hopefully I attained some of that in this first episode. It felt pretty disorganized and stumbly, but if hopefully you guys liked some of it. So please let me know what's working, what's not working. What do you think I should be doing? How long should these things be? What do you tell me? It's going to inform how I craft this going forward. So I appreciate all of you. As I assume most of you are like longtime followers of me, longtime subscribers of my channel. And you know, I say it often, but I really appreciate you guys. So thank you for listening. Have a good one.